88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM, on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour.
Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Governor Larry Hogan gives an update on the state's response to COVID-19 vaccinations and booster shot guidance.
The holidays are creeping up. Why experts say you should start buying gifts now.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Students and staff gathered on Morgan State University campus in support of those who suffer from the disease.
The city is now averaging 109 new cases per day of COVID-19, an increase of just over 30% from 2 weeks ago. The city's intensive care units are currently at 89% capacity, according to the health commissioner, Letitia Geriser. And Baltimore City Health Commissioner also says that they continue to show steady growth in vaccinations at about 66% of eligible residents. 12 and up have received the first dose of the vaccine. The health commissioner also says that those who received the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson vaccine should not get the Pfizer booster.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan gave an update on the status of Maryland's COVID cases and how the state is doing with its outreach to get more residents vaccinated.
Thanks to the millions of Marylanders who have rolled up their sleeves over the past 9 months, Maryland is one of the most vaccinated states in America. We have now administered more than 7.9 million COVID-19 vaccines. 96.1% of all Marylanders 65 and older have been vaccinated. 83.6% of Maryland adults 18 and older have been vaccinated. And we have vaccinated 82.6% of all eligible Marylanders age 12 and older. We've achieved these numbers with strong public health outreach, innovative lottery and scholarship promotions, a relentless focus on equity, and without resorting to blanket mandates. As a result of all of our efforts, Maryland continues to withstand the Delta variant surge better than just about any other state in America. Last week, we reported the lowest COVID-19 case rate in the nation. Our positivity rate has declined by 20% over the past month. Our hospitalizations are down 60% from their peak, and we remain well below all of our pandemic surge capacity triggers.
The state of Maryland has given out over 75,000 booster shots so far. Some people are confused on who can get the booster shot, and Governor Larry Hogan also explains.
If you're confused about boosters, you're not alone. With so much conflicting guidance out there, I wanted to take a moment today to simply give Marylanders the current status. To determine your eligibility for a COVID-19 booster shot, the simplest thing to do is look at your vaccination card. If you received your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine at least 6 months ago, meaning March 30th or earlier, you may qualify for one of the categories which are currently approved, which are everyone 65 and older, everyone 18 and older with underlying health conditions, and everyone 18 and older whose occupation puts them at increased risk, including first responders, healthcare workers, and public transit and grocery store workers. If you're in one of these categories, you should strongly consider getting a COVID-19 booster shot immediately.
Drug maker Merck says its experimental COVID-19 pill reduced hospitalizations and deaths by half in people recently infected with the coronavirus. It said Friday that it would soon ask health officials in the U.S. and around the world to authorize the drug's use. If cleared, the drug would be the first pill shown to treat COVID-19. That could be a major step forward in global efforts to control the pandemic. All COVID-19 therapies now authorized in the U.S. require IV or an injection. A pill that could be taken at home could keep many patients out of the hospital. The results have not been peer-reviewed by outside experts. An independent group of medical advisors monitoring the trial recommended stopping it early because interim results were so strong. Here's a look at your weather around the region.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low 53, calm winds. Saturday is going to be a great day for football here at Morgan State. Sunny with a high near 80, calm winds in the morning. The game starts at 12. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, calm winds. If you have plans for the next 3 days, take your umbrella. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, calm winds in the afternoon. Sunday night is a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 65. Monday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Monday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 79. Chance of precipitation is 50%.
The holiday season is right around the corner, and experts suggest to start buying gifts now because of the supply chain will affect shipping times as we get closer to the holidays. Shipping times aren't too bad right now, but as the demand increases around Black Friday and in early December, the shipping times will become longer and there won't be much product on the shelves left. Christine Whalen, a consumer professor at the University of Wisconsin, explains.
Doing your shopping early may be the way to go. The other thing to think about is if you are going to order something, there's going to be a lot longer lead times and shipping times than we've seen before. So patience is going to be key this holiday season, but also really being prepared. While we don't know exactly what's going to happen this holiday season, we do know that everything from Black Friday to that whole late November through December months is really a time where people shop a lot. When we see increased demand, it's going to put more pressure on the supply chain. That's why experts are advising that you shop early while there's still a little bit of a lull and get in while the getting's good.
The National Urban League is urging the passage of the infrastructure bill in Congress. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. As the National Urban League ends their annual conference, President Mark Morales called on Congress to pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill, saying, "We've seen the challenges with respect to racial justice, and we've experienced a wake-up call to the need to infuse equity in every piece of legislation." I had a chance to speak with him about the infrastructure bill, the failed crime bill, immigration, voting rights, and the pathway forward.
Many of these issues are being thwarted by one or two people in the United States Senate who have not signaled their willingness to go along. And it is as though the president's agenda is on the two-yard line and is struggling to get across the goal line. Our community has to remain tough, strong. Resilience is the word. Yeah. But I like to say it's the ability to deal with COVID and racial justice. It tests us.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
So I have a question just about holiday shopping. I think it's going to be a problem just in terms of the shipping and receiving your packages, because the Postal Service just announced the other day that it was going to, I don't know if it intentionally slows down, it's going to take a little longer to get just regular mail.
Yeah, well, the Postal Service has been moving slow for the past year now because since we've been in COVID, since we've been living in the pandemic, excuse me. So, but also, the prices have gone up as well at the post office. I think it is going to cause a little strain on, you know, holiday shopping, especially some people send out gifts to their family members like in different cities. So that definitely may be something that they want to get to work on now. One of my coworkers is funny because because we're living in the pandemic, but in the beginning months, I remember her mentioning that she sent off something for Christmas, but she sent it like in November and her family member didn't get it until until like spring or something. So, you know, she's like, and opens up a card and it says Merry Christmas. And she's like, well, you know, Happy Easter.
That happened to me with a friend of mine who hopefully is listening now. He lives here and he had sent us a Christmas card. never got it, never knew he sent it. And then he said, hey, did you ever get a card? I'm like, no.
No.
And then I think sometime in February I got
Yeah, exactly. I got getting your card. Christmas cards right. in February. So, you know, I know that people are thinking, they're trying to think ahead as much as they can. So holiday shopping, you might as well just get that out of the way now because of how you saw the mail was last year.
Yeah, that and plus the shipping.
And plus the shipping is slowing down.
Yeah, there was a story the other day that tons of, I shouldn't say tons, but a lot of the merchandise were parked offshore.
Yeah.
And they can't get into the docks.
Mm-hmm. So just like you just heard the expert say, you know, you might as well start your Christmas shopping now. I know myself, I'm a little early, but I've been looking for Christmas trees and, you know, decorations.
You did mention that.
Yeah. Right, so I'm like, let me try to see if I can get it now before Christmas actually gets here and I don't have a tree and I'm running around trying to decorate my apartment and, you know, I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you about the COVID. Would you take the COVID pill?
You know what? I'm all for medicine that works. Mm-hmm. So if there's a pill and, you know, it helps to fight the vaccine and it helps to fight the virus. Yes, all for it. Because you don't like getting the shot and it also hurts.
Right.
So if the pill, you just take it and it dissolves the virus, all for it.
Right.
I would take it.
And like they said, it would keep people out of the hospital.
Yes, keep people out, and they could take it at home. Mm-hmm. So absolutely,
yeah, I would. Similar to, I mean, when you're sick,
you
the doctor
take,
calls
exactly,
in.
Exactly, calls in your medication, and you get it, and you feel better in a few days or whatever the case may be. I would take the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's that's true. Especially now, just reading hearing the numbers on the latest COVID, was it up 30%, I think, over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In Baltimore City. You know, we're still not out of the
out of the woods at all because, you know, there is a lot of hesitancy still around getting the vaccine. You know, we can't push the vaccine, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, you know, tell people to get that. It's just if you're comfortable with getting it and if you want to be safe and protect other people around you, then you might as well want to get it so that you can have the least effects of COVID if you are infected with it, because you can still, we're still living in a pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
And those numbers show, you know, every day, even though I saw our positivity rate going down.
Yeah, the state's positivity rate is going down and hospitalizations are decreasing, you know, by the day.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know if those hospitalizations are people who have died or are people who have been released from isolation. It just says that these people have been released from the hospital. There is some positivity happening right now, but the more people who aren't vaccinated, I think the more that we'll see deaths and, you know, people getting the virus and, you know, it's just up in the air.
Right. And you're also seeing schools.
Schools being shut down.
Being shut down. The breakouts in some of the elementary schools when I looked at the numbers around the
Students
area.
Going into quarantine as well.
Yeah. 17,000 since the beginning of
the year.
Since
the beginning of the year. What county was that? It's one of the state
Harford
schools.
County,
yes, Harford County. Mm-hmm. Yes. But these are elementary school children who aren't eligible to get the vaccine just yet. So I know that they are making sure that, you know, they keep the children as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have the mask mandates in place. But, you know, you have some parents who are protesting that, like, these are our kids, you know, things like that. Or you also have parents protesting the fact that homecoming and proms and graduations and things like that will be canceled again. It's unfortunate, but we're just trying. I know that these legislators and that these officials are trying to make sure that everyone is safe until, you know, everyone is able to get vaccinated or until everyone decides to get vaccinated, because you still have a lot of people out there who do not want to get the vaccination.
Right.
They're calling it the mark of the beast.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right. Make sure you download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Place. One station for everyday people from every genre. Gospel, jazz, hip-hop, R&B, and neo-soul. A world culture in your face. News, politics. We inform, we educate, and entertain. If it affects you, we feel it too. Morgan State University Radio. We've been here because of you. WEAA 88.9, the voice of the community.
On Saturday, October 16th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Baltimore Metropolitan Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta and the Gamma Omicron Omega Alumni Chapter of Iota Phi Theta will have a pop-up expungement clinic in the North Barclay Green Community Center at 2026 Greenmount Avenue. There will be on-site legal services to help you get a fresh start by clearing your eligible criminal record. Masks are mandatory and COVID guidelines will be strictly enforced. Pre-registration is preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. For registration and more information, Eventbrite under Pop-Up Expungement Clinic.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM, and thanks for joining us. Now let's get a check on your weather for the weekend.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low 53, calm winds. Saturday is going to be a great day for football here at Morgan State. Sunny with a high near 80, calm winds in the morning. The game starts at 12. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, calm winds. If you have plans for the next 3 days, take your umbrella. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, calm winds in the afternoon. Sunday night, there's a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Monday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Monday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 79. Chance of precipitation is 50%.
Students and staff on campus of Morgan State University gathered to spread awareness about breast cancer as the month of October is designated to supporting those who suffer from the disease. Student reporter Shania Butler has more.
Morgan State University gathered today to spread awareness to breast cancer. Organizations met up to discuss and connect with students and team leaders on how breast cancer has affected them. Many spoke on how breast cancer has taken away some of their loved ones, and that is the reason why they come out to support and walk to spread awareness. I had the pleasure to speak with some students and team leaders on why they support breast cancer and what it means to them.
I would say the purpose of Breast Cancer Awareness Month is just exactly what it says, you know, to bring awareness to it, especially within the African American community, because when it comes to hospitals, cancer, just health period, African Americans don't take their health as seriously, and the healthcare also doesn't take, you know, our healthcare as seriously as it should.
The leader of Alpha Kappa Alpha expresses how her organization has a mammogram bus that travels to different cities and gives out free mammograms.
We have a mammogram bus that goes around, travels to different cities and gives free mammograms. They recently came to Morgan last weekend. So I think that's just very powerful and very important because we're taking that stand and trying to push that awareness out, you know, just to get more people active and involved in it.
Even Morgan State students came out to support and spread awareness.
I like to be here because I'm all about breast cancer. My aunt had breast cancer and she died.
Morgan State University is taking that stand and pushing awareness, which is extremely important and powerful, not only to the people who have had breast cancer, but their families and friends as well. I'm Shania Butler reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
40% of consumers are starting their holiday shopping early, and here's the latest in our consumer news.
If you see it now, buy it now. That's been the advice from shopping experts, and many Americans are heeding it. A new survey by global retail bank Klarna found 40% of consumers are starting their holiday shopping earlier than last year. 22% already have. The top reason cited, holiday sales that come earlier every year. But half also say they've heard of all the supply chain headaches and want to make sure they get what they want. Almost as many say they want to avoid shipping delays. Mortgage rates on the rise. Freddie Mac's average for a 30-year fixed government-backed loan is just over 3% for the first time since June. It was a 13 basis point jump in the last week to 3.01%. The separate Mortgage Bankers Association's average for all mortgages jumped 7 basis points to 3.1%. Freddie's chief economist blames a combination of factors, including inflation and the Federal Reserve saying it will start tapering asset purchases, which influence longer-term treasury yields upon which mortgages are based. That could help moderate home price increases, though, because buyers will be able to afford less at higher rates. Google Maps is rolling out wildfire tracking, allowing users to keep an eye on multiple fires at once. Bertha Coombs reports.
Google says the new feature builds on the wildfire boundary map that it introduced last year. It's aimed at helping people make quick decisions during emergencies. You'll be able to see details about the fire, including how much has been contained, the acres it's already burned, and the time the information was last reported. There will also be links to emergency websites and helplines and evacuation details provided by local governments. I'm Bertha Coombs.
And Rolls-Royce is joining the electric bandwagon. The luxury automaker will only produce electric vehicles by 2030, joining other premium brands such as Bentley and Land Rover. Rolls-Royce, which is now owned by BMW, says its first fully electric vehicle, named Spectre, will be on the market by the end of 2023. Consumer and business news, Joe McConnell, NBC News Radio.
A new survey is out about who is not going to get the COVID-19 vaccination, and suicide rates among U.S. troops rise.
A new study shows about one in every eight Americans will definitely not get vaccinated for COVID-19.
The Kaiser Family Foundation study conducted in mid-September found that about 12% of those surveyed will definitely not roll up their sleeve. The research found these people are most likely identified as Republican, uninsured, and under 65 years old or white, evangelical Christian. I'm Brian Shook.
Suicide rates among U.S. troops jumped 15% in 2020 over the previous year. According to data from congressional and Pentagon sources, most of those who take their own lives are young enlisted men. Troops stationed in Alaska have a particularly high rate of suicide, and the Army has spent $200 million there on efforts to bring those numbers down. 580 soldiers took their own lives last year. Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State University. He is also the sports editor for the Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEA fam. This is Tariq Turner. Morgan's volleyball team is currently in Fieldhouse competing against Coppin State. And Coppin's actually leading in the first set, 21-18. Tonight's match marks Morgan's third MEAC matchup of the season. Lady Bears head coach Ramona Riley-Bozer recently spoke with the Morgan Show host Lamont Germany about conference play, among other things.
You and I remember once upon a time when the MEAC had some programs that, to be kind, weren't very good. We don't have to name names. You can check the record over the years. They were programs that you knew you would beat as soon as they showed up on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the MEAC anymore.
Not at all.
You have to bring the funk every night against whomever you're playing in the conference. And I'm just wondering about how you feel about the elevation of the MEAC, where it is across the board competitive. Does it help keep you and your student athletes on their toes when you don't have anybody that you can just walk through on a given night?
Well, you know, it'd be nice to have some teams that we can just walk through, you know, to get the W's. But, yeah, you know, I would have to say in the last 10 years that the MEAC conference is booming. You know, it's not even just about how competitive they are within us playing each other. But, I mean, outside of, you know, the MEAC, you know, we have multiple teams that are beating, you know, some of your traditional teams that are used to, you know, you walk in the gym and they felt like, you know, they put a HBCU or a MEAC team on their schedule, that means it's going to be a win. But that's not the case anymore. You know, everybody's got to be ready. And I can assure you, you know, based on the coaches that I know, they may look at Morgan's record, you know, non-conference, but they know they still got to prepare for us, just as we are going to prepare for every single one of them. And, You know, so I am proud to see the progression of where the conference used to be. And as you spoke about, you know, I get in trouble for saying this, but it's okay. We're on the Morgan State show, so I can say whatever. And that is that, you know, the South used to be very strong. They used to dominate. And that has not been the case, I would say, in the last 8 years. You know, the North has been very tough. And I feel like, you know, your winner is going to come from somebody that's in the North. Although A&T got that win, it was a great win for them. They had a great team. And, you know, it was a little non-traditional in terms of how we all kind of got there, you know, due to COVID. But everyone's going to be preparing to play whomever, regardless of what our records are. Because when it gets to MEAC, you know, your mindset changes just a little bit. At least you hope it does, that everybody like, oh, it's do or die, you know, and that's, I think that's where we all are.
The latest episode of The Morgan Show, which was released today, is all about the reigning MEAC champion Morgan softball team. In one segment of the show, Lamont Germany speaks with sophomore middle infielder Mia Eel, who was a key contributor to last season's championship team. Here's a sneak preview from the episode.
Welcome back to The Morgan Show. My name is Lamont Germany, hanging out at practice with the champions, Lady Bears, the 2021 MEAC champions. And one major reason for that championship run is to my left, Mia Eel, middle infielder for the Lady Bears. And for my particular taste, Mia, there wasn't enough Mia last season. You had to sit out a large stretch of the year with injury in every game. When is Mia coming back? When is Mia coming back? Practice with the champions, Lady Bears, the 2021 MEAC champions, and one
show.
Welcome back to The Morgan Show. My name is Lamont Germany, hanging out at practice with the champions, Lady Bears, the 2021 MEAC champions. And one major reason for that championship run is to my left, Mia Eel, middle infielder for the Lady Bears. And for my particular taste, Mia, there wasn't enough Mia last season. You had to sit out a large stretch of the year with injury in every game. When is Mia coming back? When is Mia coming back? And I guess I'll start there, Mia. How frustrating was that for you? I know you want to contribute. I know you're a competitor. I think it was up at Drexel or somewhere where you hurt your hand, your thumb.
Yeah, I broke my thumb.
And you had to sit out a large part of the season. How difficult was that for you as a competitor?
Well, in the moment when it happened, I didn't think that it was as bad as it was. Me and Katie were actually in the dugout. I thought I had just jammed it, and she was trying to pull out the jam. Okay. But I was like, that's not working. So it really became like, once I went to the doctors was when I really realized like how serious it was. Okay. Me and Jariah went, and we came back to practice. I told my coaches that it was broken, and Coach Larry was like, can you play? I was like, no, not with this kind of injury. It was really frustrating for me because, like, I have a lot of heart when it comes to softball. Like, I've been doing this my whole life. All of my older sisters played, so I've, like, been in this forever. So it just sucks when you can't be out on the field with your team and contribute to the wins. But I was really happy to see that everyone stepped up and did what they had to do to make sure that we could stay winning. Like, Sarah came in and played second a lot, and I was just really happy that she could get the job done.
Yeah, we were able to get it done, and I was so happy, Mia, that when you ladies made it all the way to Oklahoma, you were able to come back and play. I'm sitting at home just watching it on TV, wondering if you would be able to participate. Talk to me about that experience and how good you felt that you were able to get back on the field for the games against Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
That experience in itself was nerve-wracking because in that moment, like, usually, like, I have no doubts in my skills. Like, I know I can do the things, but I was really scared because I was just worried about hurting myself worse. But I made the decision to play because it could end up being a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, it's not every day you get to play the top school in the nation. So I just was like, I'm going to wrap this thumb up good.
Slick it up.
Yeah, I'm going to do the best I can. I wasn't at 100%, but I was at the top performance that I could be in that moment.
Defensive team, Do you guys get just as much pride out of preventing runs with your defense as producing runs with your bats?
When we hit, we hit. Like, we have a lot of girls on this team that can hit the ball well, and once we get a rally going, our energy goes up, our dugout, you know, they're always loud and cheering. Even the girls who aren't in the game, they're making sure to continuously, like, support our team and make sure everyone knows that they're rooting for us, and that even if they're not in the game, they have no bad thoughts about those who do get to play.
You came here after your sister was already here. I'm assuming that influenced your decision to come to Morgan State University. Talk to me about that, coming all the way from Portland, Oregon.
Well, originally I was thinking that I was going to go play somewhere where it was hot all year round, had great weather. And then as it started to get closer to the time that I would be getting ready to go to college, Coach Myron reached out to me and we talked about scholarships and that kind of stuff. And, you know, being at an HBCU already seemed like a cool thing to do. Like, you don't get the same experience here that you get at, you know, other schools. And, you know, I only got to play with my sister 1 year in high school. So I was like, I might as well come out here and live it up again. And I'm lucky to get 2 years with her, because she really should have graduated last year, but with COVID and everything, she was able to get that extra year playing. So, you know, why not take it?
In this case, your sister, Aaliyah, I think literally has your back. You're usually playing second base, and she's usually right behind you in right field. And there have been times where you made a spectacular play at second base, only to be followed up by your sister taking care of business in the outfield with her glove and with that arm. Does it run in the family? The Yules can throw.
Yeah. It runs in the family. Our oldest sister, she has a cannon. She was an outfielder, too. I'm the only one who plays infield. But it definitely is a family trait.
The softball team will continue their fall schedule this Sunday as they travel to Millersville, Pennsylvania for a doubleheader against Millersville University. First pitch for the two games are set for 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. To watch the entire interview and the complete episode of The Morgan Show, you can visit weaa.org. The Baltimore Orioles are making friends in Seattle, Toronto, and New York. The last-place Orioles dealt the Boston Red Sox another blow in their postseason push, with Ryan Mountcastle hitting a three-run home run in the third inning of Baltimore's 6-2 win Thursday night. Baltimore has lost 177 games this year, but took 2 of 3 in the series against Boston. Welcome news for the Mariners, Blue Jays, and Yankees. The Red Sox fell into a tie with Seattle for the American League second wild card. Boston trails New York by 2 games for the first wild card and leads Toronto by 1. The Orioles began their final series of the season tonight when they face the Toronto Blue Jays in Rogers Center. First pitch is scheduled for 7:07 p.m. I'm Tariq Turner, and I'll be back in a few minutes to talk about pro sports.
You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Hey fam, it's Brother Mark here from Gospel Grace and the Instruments of Praise. I want to sincerely express my gratitude to all of you for your support for the Instruments of Praise. And if you are not down yet with the program, I invite you to come cool out your Sunday afternoons and worship with us with a jazzy vibe every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on 88.9 FM and WEAA.org.
Weekends Done Right on WEAA, a station where you can experience the diaspora through waves of sound and conversation. From soca to reggae, The Caribbean Affair with Neil Matai, Caribbean Exchange, Denise Stanley, Donna Powell, Did You Know? Keeping you updated on the latest happening in and around the Caribbean community every Saturday. From 8 p.m. to midnight, you can tune in to African and World Beat with DJ Lovey. Sundays are for praise and devotion, featuring Gospel Grace Daybreak, Gospel Grace Sunday Brunch, and Gospel Grace Afternoon. Instruments of Praise. The fun doesn't stop there. David Brown, WEAA pioneer of 27 years discussing real issues, asking real questions in real time. Download the WEAA public radio app on your smartphone or mobile device today to listen live everywhere.
subscribe to your favorite public radio station. Streaming now at WEAA.org.
Welcome back. Here's a recap of our top stories here on the Morgan News Hour. Baltimore City is now averaging 109 new cases per day, an increase of just over 30% from 2 weeks ago. Drug maker Merck says its experimental COVID-19 pill reduced hospitalizations and deaths by half in people recently infected with the coronavirus. They are expected to receive FDA approval later this year. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Morgan State University gathered today to spread awareness. Booths are set up in the Student Center, and there was also a pink power walk. Now let's take a look at your weather.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low 53, calm winds. Saturday is going to be a great day for football here at Morgan State. Sunny with a high near 80, calm winds in the morning. The game starts at 12. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, calm winds. If you have plans for the next 3 days, take your umbrella. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, calm winds in the afternoon. Sunday night is a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Monday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Monday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 79. Chance of precipitation is 50%.
We are now joined by WEAA's Ravens reporter, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, how are you?
I'm good, Randy. How you doing?
Good. Very good. Okay, let's get into it. Lamar missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. Any update on his status?
Yeah, he came back to practice today. He was a full participant. You know, he took some big shots in that Detroit game last week, some shots I'm pretty sure John Harbaugh didn't want him taking. He made it to his press conference Wednesday afternoon, so it was kind of a shock to not see him out there that afternoon for practice. But he is back today, so it seems like it's all systems go for him.
All right, good. The Ravens are a running team, and we're used to seeing them have at least one lead back. What do you think is going to what do you think is going on with the running back situation?
Well, that's the big question mark, and that's one we're not used to seeing from the Ravens. And make no mistake about it, as a team, they're still running the ball well, but that's in large part due to Lamar. And we're used to seeing them have at least one lead back, and right now they don't have that. I mean, and they came into the season shorthanded. Their top three guys were out for the year before the season even started. So they signed Latavius Murray, and at the time it seemed like a steal, and Latavius has been, he's been decent for them. But they had Tyson Williams there, and he gets carries, but Tyson, I believe, is the guy that should be emerging as the main guy. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry. And Gus Edwards, who I believe is an incredible back, his average is over 5. So you're getting a nice production from Tyson now. I just think the Ravens need to find a rhythm with one of these guys, because it's clear Lamar can only take for so much, and I think they need to find a way to take some pressure off of him.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Ravens added a few guys to the defensive line this offseason to help with creating more pressure on the quarterback. Is this something you expect to continue?
Well, I think that's something that the Ravens really want to see get better right now. I mean, Adafe Owe, their rookie, he's made a couple of big plays, and most namely the forced fumble in the Kansas City game that pretty much won them the game. But I think that they signed veteran Justin Houston, to be on the opposite edge. The Ravens aren't getting much pressure right now unless they blitz. And as a team that's right now banged up in the secondary specifically, the Ravens' MO is to blitz regardless, but I think they would like to find ways to get more pressure on the quarterback without having to send a house every time.
Right. So Sunday, what are your four keys to the game? Cordell?
I'm sorry, I think I lost you.
Yeah, there we go. No, we're good. That's technology, okay. Man. So what are your four keys to the game on Sunday?
Well, yeah. Number one key to the game for the Ravens is going to be tackling. They're facing an efficient offense. Teddy Bridgewater, he may not be explosive and have that wow factor that we're used to seeing from guys like Lamar, but Teddy is efficient, he's accurate, and so far this season, he's taking care of the ball. A lot of people are making it out to be like this Broncos team isn't a real 3-0 team, but the fact of the matter is they are, and their offense is a big part of that. So great tackling has been a big kryptonite for the Ravens. They're going to have to tackle in space in this game. That's one key. Number two, I think the Ravens need to try to force turnovers. They've got to find a way to take this defense. Has got to find a way to take pressure off the offense. And they're playing a very efficient offense in the Broncos. They've got to find a way to get Teddy Bridgewater uncomfortable and force him to make a mistake to give Lamar and this offense a short field. Third and finally, the Ravens have got to capitalize on big plays. Last week, that game really should have been a blowout. And as exciting as it was to see Justin Tucker go out there and do what he did, that game should have been over had Marquise Brown caught two of the three drops that he had for touchdowns. So they got to hit on some of these big plays. It looks like possibly Rashad Bateman will be playing this week. That's a huge upgrade at receiver that they're getting. They're finally getting to get their first-round pick receiver on the field. So I think that's an added weapon for Lamar. So hopefully the big plays will start coming this week.
Okay. So, Cordell, thank you for joining us. We look forward to catching up to you on Monday to recap the game.
No problem, Ryan.
All right. Thank you. Now we're here for live sports with Tariq Turner and Kendra Pugh. Kendra, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we were talking about going back and forth on some of the topics today, and we were going to kind of take a little a female twist to it today. We're going to start off with the WNBA playoffs, and my question is, why doesn't the WNBA get more attention?
I don't know. It's been an ongoing conversation for a while. I guess because most of the games isn't high-scoring games. Mm-hmm. Like with Diana Taurasi, she had a career high of 38 points. But it's like women aren't scoring that much on the daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the LeBrons, the Stephen Currys, who can go out and shoot 60 per night on any given day. So it's just combinations of that. You know what I mean? That it's just like a low scoring game.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were in the playoffs. I knew they were playing, but I didn't know they had even reached the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with what Kendra said about low-scoring games. And I also think that the typical basketball fan, they just watch the games for, like, flashy plays and mm-hmm. athleticism. But it's, like, the true hoop fans that enjoy the WNBA because there's a lot of high-level basketball being played. You know, game one of the Connecticut Sun and Chicago Sky series, Candace Parker scored 22 points, and Courtney Vandersloot actually had a WNBA playoff record, 18 assists. So there is a lot of exciting stuff happening in WNBA.
Yeah, and I'm just in terms of girls basketball, I'm talking about in high school and things like that. Back home, I would always more likely go to the girls game than the boys games. I was just curious how, you know, it's not reaching the popularity that it should.
You say you went to the girls games, you didn't go to boys games as much?
No.
Why was that?
Our girls could ball.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was just curious about that. Now, moving on to the National Women's Soccer League, there's some controversy there with their head coach was fired by the team for alleged misconduct, which included claims from two former players of sexual harassment and abuse. And I'm wondering, and actually there's a stat I saw. It said 1 in 3 women in the U.S. say they have been harassed at work. But this seems like it's coming to light, which is a good thing because of what happened with USA Soccer. What do you guys think?
I just think, like, this just keeps on happening. Like, I understand the statistics and the stats, but it just keeps on happening. Like, when you think about women dominating, obviously U.S. soccer was really dominating. And also the women's gymnastics was really dominating. And it's like every time something like this happens when it involves women, it's always a huge scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, this type of behavior still goes on in sports. I just find it really unfortunate.
Yeah, the decision to cancel, or I'm sorry, so what they're doing is cancel this weekend's games. And the decision, according to the commissioner, was made by the players' union. So, you know, women were more united than, you know, when stuff like this happens.
Yeah, I'm glad that that the commissioner listened to them and that they had a say in what happened to the matter.
Mm. Let's move on to the, what was the Ben Simmons story?
Oh, yeah. So it was a tweet from NBA insider Shams Charania today that said that the 76ers are not paying Ben Simmons his $8.25 million payment due today as the three-time All-Star awaits a trade. Simmons still is not showing up to Philadelphia and hasn't understood the ramifications of his holdout.
Kendra, what do you think?
I just think I can see both sides of it. It's like, obviously, I'm not going to pay you if I'm not showing up, but that's for any job. If you're not showing up, you're not going to get paid until you decide to show up. So that's with anything. But also, when you hear about the disrespect in Philly, what Ben Simmons is going through, and you're countlessly being disrespected, it's like, why don't you just trade him? This is just too much. It's going on long for a long time. But when you're bashing him in the media and saying all these things about him, it's like, why would he want to play for you guys?
But doesn't he? He had to show up, right? And he would have got his $8 million. Yeah. Is he that?
He's that stubborn, I guess. Yeah. I had a question about this. Oh, go ahead, Kendra.
Oh, I was just going to say, just like the locker room talk of Embiid not want to play with him anymore. But then you say you reached out to him when you guys were in L.A. When he was in L.A., you try to reach out with him. But it's like, why would I want to reach out to you if you said all those comments about me in the locker room?
Mm-hmm. Well, the other day, Joel Embiid said this: our teams have always been built around his needs. So it's just kind of surprising to see, even going back to the reason we signed Al Horford, we got rid of Jimmy Butler, which I still think was a mistake, just to make sure he needed the ball in his hands. What do you think about that, Kendra?
I think it makes sense, though, when you talk about the need, just like the situation with Kobe Brown, when they went out and got Dwight Howard, but him and Kobe wasn't meshing well because mm-hmm. it's just like they wasn't winning. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. You have to win games and you have to meet the need if you want to win championships. It's all about championships and what have you done for me lately, not what you've done for me in the past. And if you guys can't make it deep in the playoffs and obviously a conference final like everybody thought you was going to do last year, then it's just like, what's the point? You have to find somebody else, try to get Damian Lillard to meet those needs.
Yeah, I had one more question. What's the most amount of money that you guys would forfeit to not do a job that you didn't want to do?
Not $8 million, I tell you that.
Right, exactly. I'll show up to that training camp right now, get that money.
Right. Yeah, not, thank you. I agree with Kendra on that one. Really quick, there was a quick note I saw. It said the sports book says that this week's game against the Patriots and Bucks is going to be the most heavily bet NFL game of the season.
Wow.
You think so?
Did y'all hear? Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear about it? I think so. I think so, just because everybody want to see Tom Brady win. But obviously he's going against Bill Belichick, who knows him more better than anybody else knows him. But also Rob Gronkowski is going to play. So it can really go either way. You know, Rob Gronkowski is Tom Brady's number one weapon. Without Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady's going to be a little bit limited.
Oh, he's not playing?
No, Gronk? He's not playing. They said he's out this week.
And the rumor I thought was a game time decision.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So, thank you guys for the live sports report. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And now we'll head over to Demi for the entertainment report.
Yes. Thanks, Dre. Dre, my gosh. Thanks, Kendra. Thanks, Tariq. Here's what's trending in your entertainment. The legacy of late NBA great Kobe Bryant will live on in the digital form. The team behind the KB24 NFT project revealed an official release date for their token art collection inspired by the late NBA star. And according to a press release, the project has received support from NBA players such as Dwight Howard, Meta World Peace, and Kenny Smith. Dwight Howard says he's amazed at how fast the KB24 community has grown in such a short amount of time, and that it's thrilling to be supporting the Mamba and Mambacita Foundation. Proceeds from the NFT will benefit the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation. The project is estimated to generate $50 million in royalties throughout its lifetime, which will be used to donate to the foundation. The KB24 project is set to drop on October 8th. That's my contribution to the sports report.
Thank you.
So, the queen of hip hop and soul. Oh my gosh, I said that. The queen of hip hop and soul, Mary J. Blige, revealed that she's dropping a new album. It's been 4 years since Mary's last album, Strength of a Woman, which peaked at number 2 on the top R&B hip hop album chart and number 3 on the Billboard 200, becoming her highest charting effort since her 2010 album, Stronger With Each Tear. In a recent Instagram live chat with DJ and rapper D-Nice, Mary revealed that her new single will be dropping this month, with a new album following in November. And Mary also teased the album on the Instagram live, stating it's going to go crazy. Back in August, the singer had an interview with the Los Angeles Times where she said the new album is about love, life, struggle, but most importantly, triumph, about learning how to rejoice in the valleys and the droughts. DJ D-Nice will be joining Mary J. Blige on stage for her 2-night tours on November 18th in New York and November 20th right here in Baltimore. And lastly, the Poe Festival and Award Ceremony celebrating legendary Baltimore author Edgar Allan Poe is this weekend at the Poe House and Museum. So if you want to celebrate the life and death of Edgar Allan Poe, won't you go out to his house and his museum and see what they have to offer?
So getting back to the Mary J. Blige.
Yes.
Those tickets are crazy.
The tickets are super expensive. But her show in New York has already sold out. Mm-hmm. So people obviously, they want to go see Mary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tickets for Baltimore is still on sale. I checked. The cheapest tickets I saw were like $290-something. Mm-hmm. Dollars. The highest tickets are for the floor seats, front row, like $700. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because she's only going on 2-night tours.
Right.
And she's like, I don't have to go nowhere. I'm driving. I'll mm-hmm. be in New York. Yep. And I'm driving and to Baltimore
right.
The next day. So, you know.
She got to pay for that divorce.
I'm not saying that she had to pay for the divorce, but I just feel like this is like an early
set up
for her album right. coming mm-hmm. out. So, yep. you know, that and the tour is in November, and that's the album's coming out in November. She didn't give a date, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you can afford to go see Mary, go support.
See Mary, right.
Exactly. Go see Mary.
Really quick.
Yeah. Yes, you have entertainment
Donnie Simpson
news. Yes.
Is bringing back Video Soul.
Video Soul. Tell us about Video Soul.
So, again, because we talked about it yesterday with Rap City. I used to work at BET and used to play the videos back for his show. He was wildly popular. The show was wildly popular. We had fun, you know, doing the show. And he had talked about it before a couple years ago, I think, about putting it out. But he couldn't find the platform. And
right.
now it's going to go out on, what is it?
Tubi.
Tubi.
So it's going to be mm-hmm. online streaming. And I think it's for free
right.
on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch Video so I guess whenever that comes out, but he said it was 25 years mm-hmm. in the making.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Wow, 25 years since I worked.
Since you were. It's been a while since people have seen Video Soul, so this mm-hmm. is exciting for I guess everyone.
Right.
That may be a little, not my generation, but but it's gonna be on Tubi, free, stream it, watch it.
Yeah. All right. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Thank you so much for being here with us. Enjoy your Friday. Have a good weekend.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight.